Good morning. Great to see everybody here. Thanks for joining us online. Thanks for all of those that have been able to come back to the service now. I know we've just kind of been joining for the last couple weeks, so it's great to see you. I just want to tell you, in the last few weeks and months, we were on holidays. We had lots of guest speakers. We actually have another guest speaker this morning. His name is Pastor Johnny. He actually grew up in Smithers, so he knows Pastor Blake really well, our good friend of ours from Kitimat. And yesterday we were at the Lake House Pentecostal Camp AGM, and Pastor Johnny, you basically knew half the people because, again, you kind of grown up in the north, so you guys have been down in Delta for the last, you know, many, many years. You've been pastoring there at the Delta Pentecostal Church for many years as well. So he's here this morning to share with us, so why don't we give him a good, warm Pentecostal welcome this morning. I got you this water sponsored by, you know, Aquafina.
Thank you.
So there you go.
Thanks, Pastor Rob. You took half of my intro away, but that's okay. Well, I'll improv. I'm a little nervous this morning. Life has taken me away from my conventional forms of ministry for the last little bit, so it's been a little while since I've stood on stage and preached the Word of God. So if you guys bear with me. It might be a little bit of turbulence to take off, but we will get in the air and we will get going, and God is going to speak this morning. And so, like Rob said, I'm from Smithers. My family moved there when I was about five or six, and I grew up there. I graduated high school there. I love this area of British Columbia, this Pacific Northwest. It's an incredible part of British Columbia. It's an incredible part of the world. I really love everything about it. I love the outdoors. I love going skiing, hiking, mountain biking. There's one thing in specific that I love more than all of those things, and it frustrates me that I love it so much, and it's fly fishing. I love fly fishing, and this is why it's frustrating for me, is because when it comes to skiing and biking or hiking, the other things that I love to do, it's simple, right? Like, you start at the top, you end at the bottom. It's pretty straightforward, right? You've got a clear objective. It's pretty straightforward. You start, you finish, you're good to go. But with fly fishing, it's not quite the same. Like, it sounds like it should be the same, right? Like, you walk out to the river, you pop your line in, you pull out a fish, and you go home, right? It sounds really simple, but it's not really that easy, is it? For those of you guys who fly fish, you know it's not that easy, right? You might get a fish on right away. You get it within 10 feet of the shore, pops off the hook. You're like, okay, that's fine. It didn't take me long to get the first one. So you go again, you get snagged on a tree, you get snagged on a rock, and then you find that the place that you're standing on the river, there's some mysterious magnetic object in the water that pulls all of your hooks straight to it. And you get hooked on this mysterious object, and for minutes you try to pull your line out from every conceivable angle that you can get to on the side of this shore. For me, like, I'm stubborn, very stubborn. I will practically have water filling my waders before I finally concede the fact that I've lost that fly, pull my line off, retie, and continue on. That's just kind of who I am. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. So when me and Rob were chatting about this morning, Rob did something that made me nervous. And I asked Rob, what should I speak on? You've got a series you're going through, something you're talking about. And Rob goes, just speak on whatever God puts on your heart. And that makes me sweat. That makes me nervous, because I'm okay with, you know, this is the scripture we're working through. These are the topics we're working through. It's easy, right? I dig into it. I pray about what God has in that specific topic or portion of scripture. I dig into it. I do my research. I pull out what God, I feel like God is calling me to. But when it comes to this kind of situation where it's just like whatever God puts on your heart, it's an extra level of responsibility and an extra level of faith that I have to put in God in order to get here. But if there's one thing I know about God, is that when we're put in uncomfortable situations, He thrives and He shines. And so that's what I'm hoping for this morning, is that God just shines and thrives through me. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to get going this morning. So, Holy Father, this morning, as we gather here in this building and as others sit in their homes and listen, Lord God, I pray that your glory would shine. Holy Father, I pray that your spirit would be here this morning in this building and in each and every one of the homes of the people watching, Lord God. And from this point and from those homes, Lord God, I pray that your glory and your spirit would spread to other areas of Terrace and other areas of this Pacific Northwest area. Holy Father, we pray for your presence. And this morning, I pray that that you would minimize my voice and everything that I think and everything I say would go through a filter of you out into this place. Holy Father, this morning I just dedicate this message and every word I'm going to speak to you and to your spirit and to your kingdom. Holy Father, in your name, amen. So Rob tells me, speak on whatever God's putting on your heart, right? And so I go, okay. So I start thinking and praying and trying to figure out what it is that I'm going to speak on. And what do you know it? God highlights something that he's already been talking to me about for the couple of weeks before me and Rob have this conversation. So God's already working. He's already moving. He's already preparing me for this moment, even though I didn't know it. And so I'm going to be talking about something that I've kind of been walking through with God, and I've kind of realized over the last little bit, and it's this idea that it's really easy for us to concentrate and focus on what God has done, right? Like, and specifically what God has been talking to me and showing me is that I tend to really fixate on the moment where I was born again, where I felt God transform my life and fill my life, and I felt the Spirit move, and I started to see things and experience things in new ways that I'd never experienced and seen things before, right? And it was such an incredible time and point in my life. And as I got further in my journey with God, and as things went up and down and left and right, I started to really just turn my head and focus. Not it's a bad thing to look back, but I began to focus too much on what God had done and how great those things were. And I got a little bit distracted from the direction that I was going. And it's easy to fixate on those things, and sometimes it causes you to become discouraged because life isn't always as wonderful as it was in that first moment when you met Jesus, right? If you think back to that first moment where you came into contact with the living, breathing God, right? Like, that was incredible, and it was phenomenal, and I remember that moment so clearly. But life isn't always as easy and as wonderful as it was in that moment. Life becomes hard, and there's twists and turns, there's obstacles, and there's, unfortunately, a force out there that doesn't want us to have that relationship, that experience, that excitement, that thing that we have with God that's so unique and so incredible. And so it's not always so easy. And I found it too easy to get swept up looking back at those emotions and focusing on those things, that I was getting distracted from where I was going, and I was becoming discouraged because I didn't clearly see the path to where God had called me to and the things that he had talked to me about and the visions that he gave me and the things that I knew he wanted for my life. I began to get distracted and discouraged. And so I want to start at the beginning of that journey. We're going to chat about that beginning of that journey. We're going to kind of walk forward through that. And so the beginning of that journey is very clear, and Jesus makes it very clear in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And so if you have your Bibles, you can flip there with me. And we're going to chat briefly about being born again and what that means for our lives. So John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Jesus has this conversation with a man named Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with them." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And so this is the conversation that Jesus is having with this man. And I was reading something that one of my favorite authors, Timothy Keller, wrote. And it was very interesting insight and kind of commentary on this portion of Scripture. Because in the North American church, a lot of the time when we hear the phrase born again, we get a certain image. We think of a certain type of people. And that people are sometimes we think of these like highly emotional people that are like chasing a spiritual high, or these really broken people that have gone through a lot in their lives and are seeking redemption, right? That is oftentimes kind of the picture that we see when we think about being born again, oftentimes, because it's kind of the narrative that seems to be a part of the North American church. But Timothy Keller makes the excellent point here that's not what Jesus intended. Being born again isn't just for those who are lost and those who are broken. It's for all. And he specifically highlights this with his conversation with Nicodemus, because if we dig into who he is, Nicodemus is actually this hyper-conservative religious leader, this Jewish man, a leader and teacher. And yet Jesus is telling Nicodemus he also has to be born again, right? He's not exempt. He's not aside from everybody else that needs to go through this process. Even this hyper-conservative teacher needs to be born again, because there is no way to the kingdom of God without this, right? And why is that so important? Why is this being born again so important? Because it's a transformation. It's a transformation from where we were to where God wants us to be and who he wants us to be. And it says as much in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any one is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? We're not old, we're new. We're a new creation. And this isn't to say that we're not our old selves anymore, or we're not the same person we were anymore, but it's this transformation in our lives that happens when we're exposed to Jesus Christ. It changes something about us, and that change changes how we think, how we understand, and how we view things, right? And it slowly starts to change who we are. I remember after this transformation happened in my life. At the time, I didn't really, like, I felt different, and like I understood things were different, and I started to see things in a different way, but I didn't understand how big the transformation was in my life until I was back in Smithers talking to one of my old bosses. I worked for him when I was in high school, and I worked for this guy, I was very angry. I was very arrogant, and there was a lot of friction between me and some of the other guys that worked there. And in one case, I got one of the guys fired because I didn't like him. To be fair, like, I didn't, like, you know, like, get him fired for anything like he wasn't doing. Like, he was doing things he shouldn't be doing. I accidentally highlighted those things to my boss so he would get fired, right? I think he knew that. Like, he was a smart guy. But for some reason, this incredible man of faith kept me around. He kept employing me. He kept giving me chance after chance after chance. And he made it a giant impact on my life. And so I was excited to talk to him and visit with him later on in my life. And after we had a conversation, we hung out for a bit, he started making comments about how much different I was than when I'd worked there. He started making comments about how my actions were different, my words were different, my manner were different. And as he was speaking about the transformation that he's seen in my life, I really started to see and understand what being born again was and what it meant for my life and what it meant for the lives of other people who were going through that transformation. And it wasn't until that moment I really realized what happens when you let God into your life, when you let him into your heart, and when you let him just truly take over your life. It's an incredible transformation, and it's hard to explain in words. It's especially to someone who doesn't understand the Spirit and the power of presence of Jesus Christ, right? It's hard to hard to say it in words, but if you can see it, and if you can experience it, if you can watch someone else go through it, or if you've gone through it yourself, you know and you understand what it is to be transformed by the Spirit of God. And I could talk for another hour and a half about being born again in that transformation, because it gets me really excited, but that's not the specific thing that God highlighted me and that I want to talk about this morning. So we're going to transition into talking about a really important figure in the New Testament. So it's about 26 AD. There's this young, ordinary Jewish man. He lives in Galilee. He makes his living as a fisherman. He's a pretty brash young man, pretty energetic, pretty passionate. He often acts before he thinks, right? This young man's name is Simon, and eventually we know him as Peter, the disciple and the apostle. And this young man gets called by Jesus. And what I find really fascinating as I was looking through this and forming my sermon for this morning is that Jesus never specifically at the beginning talks to Simon, then Peter, about being born again. But we see it. Before it's ever mentioned in the New Testament, we see what being born again means in the life of Simon becoming Peter. Because we meet this young man who's arrogant, who's brash, who acts before he thinks, and then he meets Jesus. And the interesting thing is, as he meets Jesus and he's in close proximity to him, his life begins to change. And I don't know if he realized it at the time or if it was a slow transformation, but the more he was in contact with Jesus and the more that his life was walked alongside of Jesus, the more his life was transformed. And it's just a slow process of him being born again. And it doesn't say it at any point. It doesn't acknowledge that that's what it is. But if we understand the Bible and we understand the gospel and then we look back and read over it, we start to see and understand that Simon is being born again, and he's becoming Peter, he's becoming this disciple. So if we start to look through, let's read through Mark chapter 8, verse 29. We start to see the transformation in Peter's life. It says, he asked them, so this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And then we see this transformation in Peter going from a brash, arrogant guy to starting to have wisdom. And he says, "You're the Messiah." He starts to have understanding because of his close proximity with Jesus. His life is being transformed. It's being changed. And he starts to gain wisdom and understanding. And he's able to identify that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And then we go down the road a little bit to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22-32. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he dismissed the crowds, he went up from the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was by this time a long way away. From the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But he saw the wind, he was afraid, and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And at first, the first time I read this, I'm like, okay, this is an example of Peter failing to be transformed, right? It's a story of him not having faith, because Jesus says, "You have little faith." But the more I read this scripture, and the more I really let it sit in my heart and meditated on it, God highlighted something to me. Because although on the surface and practically, yes, Peter does stumble here a little bit. But if we look at this scripture, we see something that happens in our lives all the time. The wind and the waves come crashing down. Fear sets in, panic sets in. But what does Peter do? He looks out. He finds Jesus. And he makes the choice to step out towards him. And that's what Jesus wants from us. When the sea is heavy, when the rain is coming down, when the wind is beating down and we feel hopeless and we feel afraid and we feel like it's the end, what does Jesus want from us? He wants us to reach out. He wants us to take the step of faith towards him. And what I realized reading this passage is that this illustrated so perfectly what I was feeling and what I was experiencing, what God was speaking to me. Because our journey after being born again is not linear. It's not a straight line. And it wasn't here for Peter. He got to this point and he stepped out in faith because he seen Jesus through the wind and the waves and the rain and the wind. When everything seemed helpless and fear was setting into everybody around him and they were panicking, what did he do? He reached out, he took a step of faith into the storm towards Jesus. And that's what he wants from us, and that's what he's calling to us. But he did stumble, and that's okay, because our journey isn't linear. But Peter made the choice to step towards Jesus in that moment. And that shows growth. That shows change. That shows transformation in his life. It shows that he was going the right direction, that he was making an effort to go towards Jesus. And that's what God highlighted in this passage for me as I began to read it. Because at first, this was in a later part of my sermon, talking about when Peter was failing. And then the more I read it, I was like, this isn't about Peter failing. This is showing the growth in his life, that he was willing to step out into the storm towards Jesus. Because at this point, Peter's eyes were beginning to be opened to the things of Jesus, right? Do you remember that moment in your life when you started to become in contact with the Spirit of God? Right, and you would read the Bible and things were clearer than they used to be. Or you'd be in situations and you'd have this moment of wisdom that you never had before. Right? Things were changing for Peter, like they changed for me at one point in my life, and like it changed for many of you at some point in your life, where you began to understand the things of God better and in a new way than you had before. See, this was Peter's experience. This is what he was going through. And this is what we've gone through. Because the power and the presence of Jesus transforms us, and it transformed him. But like I said before, it's not linear. It's not a straight line. There's ups and there's downs, there's left and there's right. And Peter experienced these things in the same way that we do. The same obstacles that we face in our journey with Jesus. And although there were great strides, there was also backstepping. At one point, Peter rebuked Jesus. Okay? Like, if there's any, like, backsliding in your journey of transformation, it would be rebuking Jesus, right? Like, and not only is this, like, you know, like, if Jesus were to give me a word, right? Like, and I'd be like, I don't know if that's actually Jesus, because it's easy to kind of make that disconnect when he's not standing in front of you. But for Peter, I mean, Jesus was standing in the flesh in front of him, being like, this is what's up. And Peter was like, nah, that's not happening, right? And so this is like, he's physically there in front of him. Peter rebukes him. And then there's this moment where Peter denies Jesus, right? Like three times he denies Jesus. And so we see in Mark 8 and Matthew 14, where Peter's making strides forward in his journey and forward in his transformation, and then the things that God is calling to him. He's moving forward with Jesus. And then we see these moments later on where he's taking a left or a right, or he's going downhill. He's not going exactly towards where Jesus is calling to, right? And there's these moments of hardship where I'm sure Peter looked back on those first moments with Jesus when he was standing in that boat and Jesus called him and things were wonderful and things were great because he got to walk alongside Jesus and see him do miracles and incredible things. And I'm sure in these moments where Peter was standing there and he had just denied Jesus and his heart was breaking because he didn't know what was going on and he didn't know what the journey ahead was going to look like. And he probably looked back on that moment where Jesus called him the first time and he felt that joy and love of Jesus in his heart and in his life. And he was like, why can't I just be there? And that's the moment I've found myself in sometimes when things haven't gone the way I hoped. Or I started to remember a vision that God had given me, or a word he gave me. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm going that direction. I don't feel like that's where I am. And so I started to just look back at those moments where God called me and those moments where I felt his spirit move. And I was stuck just looking at those instead of looking ahead. And like I said, it's not bad to look back and remember the things that God has done, but you can't stay there. You can't stay stuck there. And the cool thing is Peter didn't. He didn't stay stuck there. He didn't stay in those moments. And it was hard for Peter, right? Like he walked with Jesus. Like physically, he was there. He was one of his disciples. You got to watch and witness him do incredible things in the world, transform lives. And then all of a sudden, he was hauled off to jail in front of him. And his whole world was turned upside down. He didn't know what was coming. And he had to rely on the words of God and the things that he said to him and the promises that he made. And we see that it was a tough journey making that transition for Peter. But we see the fruit and the outcome of that because Peter's life and his ministry took off when he made that choice when things were hard to persevere, to keep going. And that is the point of this morning. That is the point of what God was speaking to me about. When things are tough and it's easier to look back, there's still something that he has for us. There's still promises that he made, and he is faithful to fulfill those. And we see that in Peter's life. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. About the time Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And then he saw that it pleased the Jews, so he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days. This is during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now Herod was about to bring him out. On that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound by two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. So he's locked down. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and the light shone in the cell and struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals." He did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." He went out and followed him and did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. When he passed the first and second guard and came to the iron gate leading into the city, it opened for them of its own accord. And they went out along one street, and immediately the angel left him. And so now we have, first of all, the fact that Peter is in prison for preaching the word of God shows the transformation in his life, right? And now we see the humility and obedience to follow God I mean, he is about as locked down in this prison as you can get. And the angel of the Lord shows up, and he confidently follows him out in obedience and humility. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, that was called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze to him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver, no gold, but what I have to give you, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took up by him the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And so now we have Peter continuing on in his transformation, looking ahead, knowing that the power of Jesus Christ was in him. He made the transition from walking with Jesus to the power of Jesus being in him and acting. And people were healed and things were done because of the power and presence of Jesus was in Peter. And he was accepting that and walking in that in a new way. Because he didn't stay fixated on what God had done, but where God was leading him and where he was going. He had to make that choice. When Jesus departed from him, whether he was going to stay stuck where he was or keep pushing forward. And I don't say these things just because I learned it in Bible school or because I was told this is the things I'm supposed to say. I'm saying this morning because it's what I read in the Bible. It's what I've experienced in my life, and it's what I am experiencing in my life. It's easy for the journey of transformation to take dips and turns and go up and down and left and right, and for us to be discouraged and distracted from what it is that God's doing, especially in a time where we feel like we're restricted from our normal routine by the turbulence in the world. Or trouble in our families, or at our workplaces, or in other avenues of our lives. It's easy to become pushed off course, to become distracted and discouraged, especially right now. And because of those things, it's easy just to look back instead of pushing ahead. But the reality is that we are God's. We've been adopted by Him into His family, into His kingship. And just like fishing on the river, there's snags, there's setbacks. But for me, standing in the river as the sun crests over the mountains gives me life. And despite the snags and the setbacks and losing flies and having to persevere, there's something incredible about it. And Peter experienced the same thing. The only difference is the thing that Peter experienced when he pushed past that point of discouragement, the thing that we receive when we push past that moment of experience, is so much more incredible than anything we can experience here on earth. It's the kingdom of God. It's the holy presence of Him in our lives. It's more transformation. But that moment of being born again isn't the end of the transformation in our lives. There's more. There's more love to come. There's more of His Spirit to come. There's more transformation to come. And if we push ahead like Peter did, it's incredible. Because the reality is that God did not bring you to this moment. He did not bring you to this place to leave you here. And He did not bring Peter to that moment in his life where he watched his his Messiah, his Christ, dragged away to jail to leave him there. He didn't bring him there to leave him there. He didn't bring you here to leave you here in your moment of weakness and in your moment of pain. He brought you here because he loves you and you are his, and because he has a plan for you and a future for you. There's something beyond that moment where we feel stuck. There's something beyond that. And God didn't just leave you there. He walks with you through that. And Peter found that out when he took that step of courage forward. And the cool thing about Peter and his life is he's no different than anybody here in this room this morning or anybody watching from home this morning. He was a person that let the presence and the power of Jesus transform his life. And in that moment of fear, and in that moment where his life crumbled before him, he took that step forward. And because he did that, the thing about Peter is that he didn't heal that person in Matthew 14. Jesus did. The power of God did. Peter was an ordinary man that accepted Jesus into his life. He accepted the power of Jesus and he pushed forward, and Jesus did things through him, and he can do those same things through anybody. Don't get discouraged when life sets you back. Remember that the creator of the world, the Alpha, the Omega, the one that conquered death, walks with you. And if he's the one that promised you something, if he's the one that set forth your destination, he is faithful to take you there. Don't get stuck looking back, especially during this season when things are uncertain, because God has a future for you. God has a future for this church, for this region. And all we have to do is have the courage to step forward, to keep walking. I'm going to pray this morning, and we're going to conclude. Holy Father, I want to thank you for who you are. Holy Father, I thank you that you've given us this word. And you showed us people like Peter, who are imperfect people, who may, at first glance, might not be who you'd expect to build the church. But you chose him. And you showed us the transformation that happens in our lives when we let you in. Holy Father, I pray that you would do that transformation in our lives, Lord God. And when we come up to obstacles that seem discouraging, Lord God, that you would give us the courage to persevere, to keep going on this journey of transformation that you have for us. Holy Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you that you walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen.